She's from there.
He's from here.
Hang together.
We make quite a pair.
She's left-handed.
He's right-handed.
Surely not to be disbanded.
We are the
Mighty Mounties. Oh.
With
Josh Ozzy.
And Michelle Christine. Good job.
Oh, okay. Good job. Well, it's episode 15, and, you know, we call it Across the Pond, but this time it could be called Across the Border. Where are you, Michelle?
I'm in Edinburgh, Scotland.
Oh, okay. So I am in England, down south. So We are quite far away, but we're making it work through the power of digital technology.
We are, and it's kind of different because, you know, we're not in the same room together, but at the same time, hopefully our voices will make it feel like we are.
Yeah, I think it's harder singing a song together. It's all right on the bits each person sings, but singing together, I think go work on that.
Yeah, but you got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, and I think this is kind of linked to the theme of the podcast episode today, which is about insecurity. And I think everyone grows up with insecurities in their life as a human. You know, we're all vulnerable. And it's just how we deal with them and what we do about them. But I really want to talk about how people mask those insecurities and they kind of hide from them. Or there's such a focus point that you can't see anything else.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of deep already. And we're just opening with the deep, which is totally fine. And I'm a comedian, and a lot of people in my industry even just became comedians or developed a sense of humor in order to help with some of their insecurities. So it's something that's touched my life in many ways as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of comedy is giving levity to situations which either don't work out or are just ridiculous in themselves and become like the emperor's clothes. So the emperor thought he'd have the best clothes ever. And then the guy got him to walk the streets naked. So birthday suit it was.
Well, I like that you were saying earlier about how you were coming back from playing some basketball and that you'd seen some young girls smoking, and that a lot of times that can be something that people use to try to appear cool or appear older or to appear, I don't know, maybe someone they have a crush on smokes and they're trying to pick it up. Yeah, what do you think were some of the reasons that they were smoking at such a young age?
Yeah, I think, you know, people have different growth spurts, different ages, and this is around the age when the guys catch up. And the guys are really small, younger, at least they used to be. And puberty is kind of shifting, but now they've shot up, so they're all trees, and the girls are small, and they're still growing, but not at the same rate. So how are they going to appear older? They're going to smoke. So in the UK, you have to be 16 to smoke. So it's like, whoa, you're at least 16 then.
Wait, they can smoke at 16?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Are you serious? That's so young.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Wow, I'm actually shocked. I thought you had to be, I think in Canada, you have to be at least 18.
No, you couldn't start to kill yourself at the age of 16 over here.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I remember at school, you know, growing up in around these kind of mid-teenage years, you're kind of thinking, oh, what are people doing the weekend? And they're like, license. And then one of the tour guides is going to get like some alcohol. Then we're going to go to the park and drink it on a bench. Yeah.
Hey.
And then
I mean, we've all been there. I've definitely been underage, and I've had some park drinks.
Yeah, but I was just like, oh, I'd rather play Mortal Kombat, mate. I'm good. Oh, you sure you don't get some cider or Blue Nun and drink it in the park? Nah, I'm good,
Well,
mate. And then like they were the cool
I
kids.
had a 40, we call them 40s, a 40 of Old English, which is like a beer, just one big giant beer. And yeah, when you're younger, that's all you need to drink. And I just remember, like, yeah, running through a field because we all got paranoid because we were drunk for like one of the first few times of our lives. And someone's like, oh, there's adults. And then we just all started running. And I think someone's shoe got stuck in the mud and they had to go back for it. It was just pandemonium. But yeah, looking back on it now, I mean, I think boredom had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, but I mean, you're not going to get many 20 to 40 year olds going, oh, let's do the bench
Yeah,
thing.
no, you're definitely not.
Do the brown bag bench thing. And I think maybe that activity is one of necessity when you're younger, but I think there's a lot of peer pressure around. And if you're feeling that, if you're younger and you're listening to this, don't listen to the peer pressure because perspective over time. Look back and you realize how stupid that thing was. So don't get addicted to killing yourself through cigarettes if that's not something you want to do, you know, just say no.
Yeah, I agree.
But you know, this insecurity starts at a young age, and if we don't know how to deal with it, a good way to deal with it is to, you know, I guess the reason why we don't know how to deal with it or it's hard to deal with at school is again the education system. Check out the episode on that. We always talk about it, but it doesn't really allow you to be that vulnerable. You're either right or you're wrong, and if you're wrong, you're meant to feel shame. And so, really finding a space where you can be vulnerable and work on your strengths is key. You know, I think I actually think physical education is better because if you have a good coach, they're going to look for gaps in your game and then help you improve that, rather than trying to mask it. So I was kind of sharing Michelle before about, you know, I'm starting to play some basketball again. And when I first started last year, we couldn't do basic stuff, like put it in the hole from
Now he's talking
close to the
about
net.
basketball, everyone. This is a G-rated
Of
podcast.
course, yeah. I don't know what else anyone else would think. So yeah, and so you practice basics, and then you see some guy doing a cool move. You know, he's been playing for years, and he's like, does this cool up and under through his legs, and then in the thing, you're like, wow, it's amazing. So then you get distracted, and you want to do the cool move. And then what I was sharing was like, we do some 3-and-3, and whenever people come out before they play the game, they would just be trying to shoot threes, and they'd miss them. They would still do that. They still do that. They keep missing these threes, and then you get two guys on your team. Playing the game, you pass it to them and they shoot a three or try to and miss. I'm like, well, mate, what are you expecting? You didn't get it in practice. So,
Yeah, and
you
I
know.
think that also ties into people's they're always looking for a shortcut, or a lot of times in life you're like, in order to feel better about yourself or to be cool, a lot of people are like, okay, well, if I just wear the clothes that are popular, then that's like a shortcut. Or if I, start smoking where the cool people are, well, that's a shortcut, because like the hardest things to do usually end up being like a long-term thing. Like, okay, well, maybe I need to get really good at a sport and then I can be friends with people in that sport. Or maybe I need to be, I just think a lot of people are looking for the easiest route to being noticed. And when you're insecure, I think a lot of times that's when you make those poor choices, like the peer pressure choices of, okay, let's just get drunk tonight at the party, or let's just put out. And a lot of people do that, where they think, oh, in order to be cool, I should just kiss someone or sleep with somebody, when really what will make you cool long term is l learning how to do interesting things and becoming an interesting person.
Yeah, and I think you know, you don't even have to do that. People don't realize that, you know, I think it's shared in movies to some extent when you get the cool kid and then the nerdy kid and they have to come together or whatever situation. And then you have that bonding experience that happens when the cool kid gets to open up to the nerdy kid. And just because the nerdy kid's just there listening. And because they've learnt that thing, or they've just been a sandbox, the cool kids never been able to do that. Never been able again to be vulnerable. So just being able to like be a listening board for people, I think, is a really good opportunity if you're looking for that, rather than having to have all these clothes or do all these moves. I think a lot of people are substituting their insecurities through materialism, and you know it's kind of stupid because you want to pick on the nerdy kid in school, and then later on in life you want to drive a nice German car. And who do you think built that? German nerds,
Well, yeah,
wasn't
but I
it?
mean, do
So
nerds always have to dress poorly? Maybe they can dress well as well. You never know.
no. I'm just saying, hey, I'm saying dress however you want. If you got the swag, you got the style, yeah, go for it. But don't let that be your only thing in life, your biggest
Yeah.
achievement. I think people who are experts on the trivial, they're always focusing on, oh, Brenda said this and they did that, and I would never eat that cake or whatever. The reason they're an expert on the trivial is because they're not an expert on anything else. And
Well, that's what I was trying to say by trying
yeah.
to delve more into learning things or to
Yeah,
expand
and
on.
that takes
Yeah, it does
time.
take time.
And a good shortcut just for connecting people is to give a shit. You know, if you just give a shit about them, why do you love your parents? Because they give a shit more about you early on than you realized and you ever knew, right?
Yeah.
So we're primed for that. And people don't realize that. Like, it's tough to do that at school, you know? But if you can master that, you know, it's not that hard. You just ask them questions, you shut up, you listen, and you really try to connect with what they're talking about, their world. You get loads of friends.
I remember when I was younger, I wasn't the most popular kid, and it was in grade four. And at this point, I had never sworn in my entire life. I'd never used a bad word, right? And I was playing telephone. I don't know if you know what that game is, but you basically someone whispers something into your ear, and then you have to whisper it into the next person's ear, and you just go around, and then at the end, you see how close the phrase is from the original phrase, and someone whispered into my ear the F word, and I remembered I had this moment where I'm like, okay, am I gonna swear for the first time? Like, is this gonna be the first time that I, take this step across the line? And because of who I was sitting with, and I just thought, oh, I don't want to be the one person that screws up the telephone and I'm whispering into a popular girl's ear, and I want her to know that I can just pass along the message. And I remember swearing for the first time in grade for playing telephone, and I should have never opened that dam because it's wide open now. But yeah, and it was because of peer pressure and who I was with, and wanting to live up to a certain, reputation, I guess.
Oh, peer
Yeah.
pressure. Yeah. And yeah, I think we've all had those situations, but yeah, it's not, I guess it's not always easy. And this is why people are doing it. But like going into a club and you can't throw your car keys on the table. So what do guys do? They kind of buy a big watch. Expensive watch. It's like, yeah, see, and it's like that's not really going to be as effective as someone that's kind of like, you know, accepted that we are all human and just going there, being chill, trying to connect to whatever level, and being like very relaxed in the energy, you know. I think a lot of guys make a lot of missteps. Because they think in it, they have to have something, they have to come across some sort of way, some sort of appearance they have of these celebrities. We could get onto that, but that's a whole different
Well, one thing that I'm curious of is, like, I don't notice
ball game.
like expensive watches because I'm not the type of person that that appeals to. I'm like probably one that,
Exactly. No,
but no, but no,
but that's the thing. Like, women don't know.
yeah,
Like,
but I don't,
I don't think that they're following men's watch
yeah, but
fashion.
I don't think I'm the most accurate woman like to make that call because I'm
No,
not very
I don't think
materialistic.
most women are following, you know, the top male watch brand.
Yeah. So you really don't think
80,000.
even the socialite-y ones that also wear the nice clothes and stuff, like, I'm just curious if maybe because we're so far removed from the bubble of high fashion
No.
that the girls actually notice the
But that's not going
watch.
to be it anyway, because you know what? In that bubble, Everyone's got their watch. Everyone's got their watch. So how are you gonna, again, how are you gonna differentiate
Yeah.
yourself?
I just like it.
You
It's funny for like, yeah, nobody notices. And then we don't realize there's just like a bevy of beauties that are staring down every man's wrist looking for a rich man at a club. And we just have no clue what's happening. Oh.
know. Well, whatever. Then guys are even kind of aware how limited their game is, because they'll say, by the way, that's a compliment.
Oh man. Well, like, is there something that sticks out to you from when you were a child that you realize kind of came about because you're insecure as opposed to a desire to do something?
Know, like, I guess being peer pressured to down drinks, because I'm not a big drinker, but I'm a fast one, so I can drink. I can drink drinks very quickly, and I remember like so at uni, we were in the kitchen. We were going to go to the student union, and we'd all have drinks. Everyone else was having different drinks, so I would have a beer, down it, and say, "Oh, you having a red wine? Down that as well." Find the next person. "Oh, you having a whiskey? Down another beer," and then down their whiskey. You know, my glass compared to their glass. And then I did another one, like a beer and someone's cider. So I mixed all these drinks really quickly. And then apparently I've gone in to get changed. And then I come out, and my friends just saw me kind of like sink against the wall. And then 5 hours later, I've just woken up. And there's this all this red stuff on the floor, and then the sink next to my bed. And just these chunks, which I realize now is just steak that I tried to have before when I used to eat red meat. I've just thrown it up everywhere, and there's all these trousers everywhere. Like, all my trousers are all over the floor and on my bed. And I'm like, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God." And then I hear this banging on my door, and it's the resident tutor, so I have to come out. Some like a friend came and helped me, and he's just, "I have to have a word, mate." I was like, "Oh, okay." And I was like trying to get in the shower instead of like following him, so that my friend helped me out of the shower. It's like, "Oh," and he's like, "Mate, it's fine for you to have fun, but you can't sing in your room at 3 in the morning." And then he just went to bed, and I felt really embarrassed. But then I found out later it's like beyond embarrassment, because apparently, because I'd been changing all my trousers in my room, when I don't remember this at all, I'd left my student ID in one of my pockets. So when I tried to get into club with my friends, they were like, "Where's your ID?" And I was like, "Oh, it's in my other trousers." So I started running back. And my friend was concerned, so he started following me. And he's running after me. And then I just run straight across 2 lanes of traffic. And he had to stop running. And, it sounds like, "Oh, how bad was it?" A month later, someone died at the very spot trying to cross that road, because it was like an A road, or, dual carriageway almost. Like, there's a lot of fast cars going down that road. So, that's where insecurity can lead you. And I hope that's a warning for all. Don't mix your drinks.
And maybe pace yourself as well.
Oh,
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
that could be a good one. Yeah, I think that there's a huge amount of pressure to drink underage, or I guess even of age, when you're younger with your peers. And I mean, part of it is because maybe people are insecure. I know that there's a lot of people that say that they find it difficult to approach the opposite sex when they're sober. Like, it's like a liquid courage is what they need. A lot of people are very shy and introverted, and they kind of feel like they have to have a few drinks to become more talkative, to become more social, because they have a little bit of social anxiety and that sort of thing. And for me, it was never that. For me, like, I think
Yeah, I'm like the other way.
I just liked having fun, I think. So for me, I don't
Yeah.
really feel like I had a huge pressure to drink, but I'm sure there's probably people in our friendship circles that probably felt that pressure that I was unaware of, just to keep up with us.
Yeah, if you're introvert, that can be a tough thing. And that can be, you're masking your insecurity through alcohol. And I had a friend that he was a super hard worker. He did all this tech stuff, really bright. He's a good entrepreneur. But when he would go out, this is like his break. And I think we have a huge binge culture of drinking in the UK because everyone kind of saves up their big drinking for Friday or mainly Saturday night. And he would do the same. And like the levels that this guy was drinking, it was like he was virtually an alcoholic. It was really bad. But it would only be like 2 nights a week.
Yeah.
So he would be completely legless, kind of like, really friendly when he's drunk. There are, and therefore it's funny. So people like reinforce it. But he drank so much. And you think, oh, you can't say he's an alcoholic just from 2 nights. It's like anyone that knows him was like, he's got a drink problem. Like, it's like, and then he was out 5 nights clean, like work hard. And then as soon as the weekend came around, it was just like completely trolleyed within the first 2, 3 hours. And then he'd keep drinking, keep drinking, keep drinking, keep drinking. And it was a bit of a nightmare to watch, to be honest.
Yeah.
Car crash.
Yeah, no, I don't, well, it depends. During the Fringe Festival, it's a bit of a train wreck, but most months of the year I don't drink that much. But also as you get older, the hangovers they last a whole lot longer, so it kind of is a problem that starts to fix itself. But I guess another thing that I think, yeah, like I touched on a little bit is your insecurity on like who you can pick as a partner in your earlier years sometimes is not the person you'd pick later on in your years because you don't really have a lot of experience. Like I know the first person that I dated was quite a bit older than me, and he wasn't a terribly nice person. He was very jealous, and he could get very angry very quickly and threaten me a few times. And that was something I would never put up with now, but when I was 16, I was very insecure about my looks, and just because he thought I was dateable, I put up with a lot of stuff that I would never put up with now. And yeah, that like looking back on it, I wish I could have warned myself, but I think a lot of people make mistakes when they're young and insecure on who they date and what they put up with from their partner.
Yeah, it's tough because the advice is correct. Like, things are definitely going to change in future, so don't think that now is the only time. But what do you do now? You got to find something where you have a good outlet, something you can work on, and have a good support around the fact that you are going to be new, so you're not going to be great, and then also being more emotionally aware to listen to others and to kind of ask good questions about their lives, because that's going to go so much deeper than, if you met like a top athlete and they were just they kind of cold-shouldered you, ignored you, well, great, you met this guy, but then nothing came of it. Like, he has to be open to you. That's the skill. So,
Like, I
yeah.
think surrounding yourself with people that reinforce the good things about you or can help you see the things that you might be blind to, because I think it's very easy when you're insecure to forget about what makes you have value. Like you are only focusing on what makes you in your mind not have value. And having a good best friend or a sibling or being more open with your parents, like I think it's really, really important to make sure that you don't allow your relationship to be toxic in your friendships as well, because the people you surround yourself with ideally are going to give you confidence and are going to encourage the things that you're good at and want you to be happy, and they're not going to be the types of people that push you into doing things that make you feel uncomfortable or see you dating someone that doesn't treat you well and just say, oh yeah, well, you are a bit overweight, or oh yeah, you are, you want people that help you see the things that will give you confidence to make the right choices for yourself.
Yeah, and I find it, I can only imagine it being harder for kids now because social media seems to be a huge accelerator for this and feelings around insecurity. And for anyone that's feeling that way as a result of exposure or especially through things like Instagram, where people are trying to show their best lives, which don't exist. The digital detox is the way. It's the way forward. Even a week off, or even 3 days, even some time away from that exposure, it's gonna like you're exposing yourself to this perception, this false reality that that is reality. When you just take a step away from it, you're like, oh no, everyone has shit lives. People have holes in their shoes, or they're having a bad day, or they don't deal with that thing that well. You see people how they are, not how they want to be seen through a filter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had a bit of a digital detox at your house, and it was really nice because yeah, when you put yourself out there online, like whether it be in stories or in pictures or in tweets or whatever, you're being very open and vulnerable, and that's fine when you're feeling up to it. But then there's sometimes where you're not feeling like you have energy, or maybe you've worked really hard and you're a bit burnt out, and you just want to have a bit of an escape. And it's funny because it's not like you're trying to escape in your real world. You're actually just trying to escape from making it public, because there's a lot of pressure when people watch you every day to be, putting on your best face and maybe not necessarily showing that you're a bit down or a bit tired or you're a bit worn out. And even for me, taking a few days off, I had my mom, calling saying, you still have family, and my sister saying, oh, well, what happens if you got murdered and all this crazy stuff. Like, people are so used to seeing me post all the time that like I do feel a bit of a pressure to maintain that. And yeah, it's just nice to escape from it from a little bit, but there's also an escaping from it. It opens up worries to other people that you know and love. So it's like, yeah, it's a very strange world we live in right now, where there's now this expectation of your life being like a public life once you begin making it public,
Yeah, and celebrities aren't immune from this. That's why we kind of mentioned before on our other episodes about Kanye deleting all of his Twitter, and other celebrities have done the same, and then they come back. So, I think I don't know. The thing about celebrities is that they are very mindful, or at least have some knowledge about what stuff that's going on. Now, even then, that can be a danger, because people still have mental health problems. But for those that are just using these processes, these systems of insecurity and underdog stories to get people involved, that's something that people should be mindful of. I think a lot of fights are set up, and people want to cheer for the underdogs. They want to see someone that they kind of identify with, because they're insecure, beat the champion, win,
Yeah.
because they were persistent, and because they put the work ethic in, and because actually everyone is special. And I believe that everyone is special, and that's not to negate the fact that this person trained their entire life for that fight. You've got to remember that as well. But I think celebrities are using this kind of guise of insecurity sometimes, to bring people on board, when it's they might have had a down and out story, but the fact that they're fighting in one of the biggest UFC fights right now, it's definitely changed, you know?
Yeah. No, I think I know what you're trying to say too. Like, there is a lot of people that can kind of use it to forward their fan base or get people on board and supporting them, when really they know that they're like a badass mofo and that they're going to bring the fire. So yeah, I mean, it is something that can be manipulated. But yeah, with social media, like you were saying, it's like I can't imagine being like 13 and having Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff, because there's a lot of like cyberbullying that goes on nowadays, and people sending a little nude picture to their boyfriend when they're like 16, and then them showing the entire school and all that crazy stuff. Like, I literally I'm thankful that Facebook for me didn't hit until I was in my first year of university, and you still needed that like university email just to register. Yeah, because it's wild. It's literally wild because people are even photoshopping pictures of their children before they post them online. Isn't that mad?
That's too much time again.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, I think it's crazy because I kind of question how can someone live their life through this filter of insecurity, but because there's insecurity around so many different things, even when you are the best at it, people are coming up the ladder trying to like knock you off, in a especially in a like a very competitive environment like athleticism. So it's almost like a lot of our lives as being drawn to live in false ways because we can't show our weaker selves, and actually the opposite is true. I remember like a lot of people coming and saying like when I've shared a vulnerable story on stage, that's actually when I've had a lot more of people's connection and feedback and saying, oh, I was that I've been there, or our son was had that same challenge. And actually vulnerability is a tool of connection. And when I actually found out about the real ass that Kim Kardashian has, she has a big nappy ass, that actually made me more connected with her than any other stuff that her the fake stuff, the airbrush stuff, the Photoshop stuff, that's not that great. But when she's walking around with a big hanging nappy ass, kind of make you feel sorry for her,
Oh my God, just hearing you say those words just cracks me up. I don't know if it's the British accent, but it's hilarious. But yeah, no, it's true. I mean, I made lots of different silly videos and whatever over my time on Instagram and Facebook. And then the one video that I made that I was almost gonna delete when I was like in Romania, and I was just kind of doing my public kind of I'm separating from my husband video, just kind of lying in bed, and I just like talked to the camera, and I like really did think it was just not gonna be something I would use. So I was very candid and honest and open, and I watched it back and I was like, ah, should I post this? And I was like, you know what? Why not? This is how I'm feeling right now. And that was the video that had all of like the comments of people or the private messages of people being like, oh, I've gone through a separation before, and this really made me feel better, or it just kind of it touched them, or thank you so much for being honest about you having like these moments and feelings, and we really appreciate the honesty because I've had a bad week or a bad day. And I got so much more feedback on that than on any like real attempt of trying to be funny or be this or that. And I think it's true. People do like seeing like the real unfiltered version of other people. And yeah, if I could go back to high school and tell myself like, you know what? People are going to like you for like you in its purest form. Stop trying to be anyone else. I think I would have been much happier as a young girl. But I felt like before, I don't know if this happened to you, but before I hit puberty, I was like definitely more like outgoing, and I would make little dances and I would do little jingles and I would sing them, and I don't know, I was just kind of a bit strange, but like outgoing and confident. But then it was once I hit puberty and noticed other people judging me, and people getting older and being more aware of like behaviors, because when kids are running and screaming and laughing and being crazy, and everyone's like that. But then it starts to shift a little bit and people start feeling judged by their peers. And so I really tried to shelve a lot of the things that make me unique, and then didn't come out of my shell again until university. And I think that that's a shame. So I don't know, did you notice that? Did you notice like a shift when you were young to like when you were like a teen to when you were like an adult, and like how much you cared about other people's like opinions of you?
I don't know, like I guess because I was always kind of a new kid in school and then also bright kid in the classroom, that kind of puts a target on you off the bat, so that's not easy. And I don't know, you just kind of wall off because you don't know. Like, kids aren't really being shown or told about emotional intelligence, how to play to your strengths in that light. And even at uni, I didn't know. Like, I thought everyone was going to be a geek at my uni, and we had a couple of nerds, but there were a lot of ultra geeks where they could do all these sports and stuff, you know. Whereas at school, it's like you're either a good athlete or you're a good academic, you know. And then you had people that could do both. It kind of blew my mind. And I went to a really cool college, so everyone was ultra fashionable and cool. It was like really tricky. And then I think I just, you know, when you have more freedom, you can just test more waters, and that's what I wish I'd done earlier in my life, but also especially in my first year, is to go to other colleges, check them out. Because as soon as I found one that had ironically more formality, I knew what to do with that, because I grew up in a very kind of formal school, so I knew the lines and the edges and the place where I could have more fun. And it was way more fun being at this kind of like really traditional formal college, going to these like black tie dinners sometimes, and just like having an absolute ball, literally, even though there was no ball on. So I think the key is like being able to experiment and to push out more. And I think when you mentioned cyberbullying, we have to realize like there's more forums and there's more places online to explore. Like, if something's happening bad on one digital platform, go to another. You know, there's good community on Twitch, there's good communities on the Discord channels, and there's people and places to explore. I've heard Reddit's particularly bad, but I haven't been on yet. So then I think there are good people there as well. You just got to hunt them
Yeah,
out.
and I've always liked a challenge, I guess. So I like the first fringe I'm gonna do is the largest fringe festival in the world, or like the biggest social media thing I comment on is happens to be Reddit with the most trolls, and there are. And you just kind of have to learn how to handle them because, like, the way the Reddit works is you don't you have complete anonymity. Unlike you kind of do in Instagram and Facebook, because it's a bit tied to who you are as a person. So, like, if you make a rude Facebook comment to somebody, everyone's gonna be like, oh, it was, Josh Odyssey, or it was Michelle Christine. Like, there's no hiding behind anonymity. So, I think that's one of the reasons that Reddit's so bad. But they also are super loving the underdog on Reddit. So if you post something and someone comes up with something really rude or mean to you, and then you can rebuff them in kind of that underdog way that's clever, like you'll get all the upvotes and they'll get all the downvotes. So there's a way in which you can handle Reddit where if you have thick skin, you'll be fine. But most of the time, if people get one or two kind of mean or cruel comments, they tend to abandon a platform sometimes. So yeah, I think it's just my experience in Reddit that's given me thick skin, probably from like comedy too. I have a lot of thick skin for people being mean to me now, which is great.
No, that's great. And I think actually the Generation Z coming through, they seem to be a lot more put together and happier. The ones, just the ones that I've been able to connect with or see. So at some level, they are, you know, they have access to all this information, all this knowledge. So as long as they're picking out the right knowledge and picking out the right stuff, they're just going to come through better, I think, than maybe we
Yeah.
have expected. You know, I think if you're a smart person growing up, and you get the right information, you can leapfrog a lot of stumbling blocks. But if you're a bit less aware, then I don't know, you could make a Roseanne mistake and be in trouble. It's like the person that tweeted something which was a joke on Twitter, but people found it could have been racially offensive. Anyway, she was going, she said something really terrible, actually. She said, I'm going to Africa. hope I don't get AIDS or
Oh,
something.
God.
So yeah, that is actually offensive.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah,
horrendous.
yeah.
So she tweeted that, and then she went on the flight, and then people just went crazy with it, and she didn't know, because back when she did it, she didn't have internet access on the plane. So then people were like, and then people were just like getting mob mentality, like, let's see if we can get her fired before her plane lands. Let's do all this. Like, people going crazy, and they did actually manage that. But then it's like, ooh, when she landed to that bombshell. In some ways, social medias make us better versions of ourselves. But are they still the truest version of ourselves? I think she could still be herself without having to make that she offensive, you know? She didn't, she could make, she was trying to make a joke. It's like, okay, people need to learn how to make jokes or and what jokes are. But you know, a lot of people think they know how to tell interesting stories or be funny, and it's a real craft, and it can take years of effort. And again, there's that mastery again. People want the rewards over the process, and it's like you gotta really focus on what you love about process, because I heard a quote today, and it's like a hopeful journey is far greater than arriving, you know, because once you arrived, okay, it's nice for a while, but then what
Well, yeah,
else,
it's like when
you
you beat
know?
the video game, you know, when you beat Ganon and Zelda, you're like, all right, I did it, I did it. And then you realize, like, oh man, the most fun thing were all the side quests that I did was trying to find every ingredient to make that potion that I was able to then use that filled up all of my heart pieces and my magic bar. You know, that was fun. Because I had to
Ooh,
go into the forest
yeah.
and get this, and I had to go there, and like, or I had to build this really great sword and use this and that. Like, I love the side journeys and the side quests and the people that you meet and everything like that. And I think, you know, we talked a lot about certain types of insecurities, but we haven't mentioned too much about like the insecurities of when you don't find yourself like in like the career or as far ahead as you might have thought you would be, you know, at your certain age or whatever. And I know that I have sometimes, like, it's funny because I had somebody send me a message on Facebook and they're like, oh, it's nice to see that you're making it. And I just was like, I couldn't feel more opposite of that. Like, I'm like, oh, I can't support myself very well doing comedy. And like, it's not like I'm selling out big arenas. And I just like thought of all the things that I wasn't. Like, that comment didn't make me happy. It actually just made me think, I'm not where I want to be. I'm not doing what I want to do. And I think I do have insecurity when it comes to where I am in my career. And I should have, maybe I should have taken that better. Like, oh, he's looking at my career thinking it's going well, you know, and maybe I'm too hard on myself. But I think a lot of people have like career insecurity.
Yeah, I think it's huge in a big way. You know, people, again, like, I think it's kind of linked to this kind of entitlement mentality that kind of goes around. Like, you think you should be a certain place at a certain year. You think you should be at a certain stage after how much effort you put in, and the universe doesn't work like that, or the market doesn't work like that. You know, it sees what it likes, and then it catches fire, you know. And if you're lucky, it happens to you. And then if you're prepared, you can really make the most of it. And that preparation is the only thing that you can really work on. Being the best version of what you want to be in your career, and then trying to make the fire happen. Yeah, trying to start it up, trying to get the right people, trying to connect, and trying to say, hey, look, what about this? Yeah, and it's amazing what rubbish things take off, and then what other great things get left behind. But actually, there's a whole work and effort put behind making that fire start and then spread. And I think people overlook that sometimes.
Yeah, and when I was mentioning earlier to you that I was watching the podcast H3H3 because they had Deadmau5 on, and he's a Canadian musician, and he was talking a lot about how he's like, you know, it's, I look at other people and I've heard other people's work and I think, oh my God, like he's like, I don't even think at all I'm the most talented musician in my industries. But you know, you can't just put a couple links up on SoundCloud and then think that people are going to find out who you are. He's like, you know, I do believe in luck, but I believe that you can create more chances for luck and you can work in the right ways for luck to be more present in your life. And he's like, and I just, you know, went out there and I made sure I made real world connections with people and went out to things and asked the right questions and tried to get my records and my you know, tapes or whatever to the right people to then give to their people. And he's like, I worked a lot on that networking aspect because it is a part of it and something that is not as often discussed publicly within the industries. So yeah, and I think